Okay, Mr. B.
Hi, Supanda.
Hi. No, I'm just saying, noted.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, honorable members. Sir, I am hearing you. You are speaking, but you are breaking. I can't hear you. Hello, Chatterson. Hello, sir. Hello, sir. Sir, if you can hear me now, according to my time in front of me, it's 1 minute past nine. I think we can start now. We do have the quorum. We've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We've got about 8 members already in this meeting.
Chair,
hello, sir.
You are muting everyone as host because many power never is muting.
Hey, how, Chatterson? How
can
that now?
You can mute everyone, host. Please. So, are we correcting?
Yes, Chatterson, that's what I was indicating. We are correcting. We've got about we've got nine members now in the meeting. So I was indicating that it's already 2 minutes past nine now. I think we can start each other because we do have the quorum.
Okay. Can you fly the agenda again?
All right. Can we see it, sir?
There we go.
Can we say it, sir?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Do we have apologies?
Yes, Chaperson, we do have apologies. In front of me, I had two apologies. It was from Honorable De Freitas and Honorable Sithole. Now I can see Honorable De Freitas is now in the meeting again. He has come in, Chaperson. Those are the only two apologies we have, Chair.
It's Honorable De Freitas and who?
It's Honorable De Freitas and Honorable Sithole.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity and welcome all of you to our meeting. Also greet our support team present in this meeting on this platform today. Honorable April, I see your hand.
Good morning, Chair. I would just like to register an apology that I would have to leave the meeting at about 11:15 because I've got a flight to catch to Cape Town.
Oh, I thought you still have aftermath of the conference. Okay. Okay. Today's meeting, comrade, as you got it from the notifications, it's mainly about our committee, finalization of the APP, and also our programs. So, the agenda is before you, and we got the agenda prior to the meeting. Flighting is for the purposes of just refreshing ourselves as to what were the agenda items in case we don't have our gadgets before us. So that is the agenda before us. Mr. Boltina, did you get hold of Honorable Gomba?
Chaperson, I've tried her from my side. I was unable to get hold of her. What I've done, I've sent it through a WhatsApp to her. She has not yet responded to that, Chaperson.
Okay.
Up to now.
All right. Okay. We are going to receive a presentation. The first presentation, Jerry and the team will lead us as reflected on the agenda. I'm going to ask Honorable Mbushe to chair the session on the deliberations. Of the finalization of the APP, because I must go to the doctor and then we'll come back and log in again. So she will chair that particular session. Is she in, or there she is in the meeting? Okay. So I'm going to allow Mr. Boltina, Dr. Kuzwayo, and Ms. Loni to lead us on the presentation. Mr. Boltina?
Okay. Thank you, Chaperson. Chair, as you have correctly indicated, we have felt that we need to finalize these issues of the portfolio committee, seeing that we were not able to find or to find the Office of the Auditor General. Now that they have agreed with us that we will have that workshop on the PAA Act, So we felt after we sent an urgent SOS to our Department of Tourism, just that there might be a gap in our program. So will they be in a position to fill that gap? Unfortunately, even that attempt it could not be realized, Chair, because they said they had the prior commitments that they have done with the Office of the AG. So as a last result, we felt that let us rather finalize our issues that we left them not finished. So that's the reason, Chairperson, if members can see why we deviated slightly from our committee program, we have this meeting instead of an engagement with the Office of the Auditor General. That was exactly the reason, Chairperson. Chair, I will ask my colleagues, Dr. Kuzwayo and the researcher, Ms. Loni, just to briefly indicate to the committee. I'm not sure which one that will start, whether we will start with you, Doc, with the APP, or we will start and then follows Ms. Loni with the country profiles that we once spoke about, but we could not finalize them and so on. Doc and the researcher.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members. The way we will present Chairperson and members is that Ms. Loni will go first with the country profiles, because for the committee to finalize the threat plan and APP, there was just one outstanding matter of choosing a country or countries that the committee would like to visit for international benchmarking study talk. So that is the only thing that is left, because we had done everything and the committee agreed on everything except that one issue. So I will then request Ms. Loni to then just briefly go through, because members will recall in the meeting that we had in Khayelitsha, the committee said we have to reduce countries into only two so for Africa and the entire world. So we then looked at those countries that one member had expressed an interest in, but two, those that we thought they have similar issues that the committee can learn from. So Ms. Loni will take members through what we are recommending. Then the committee will then guide us in terms of which countries are selected. Then in terms of finalizing the APP, that is the only issue. Once members agree today on the countries visited, we will then just insert those in this document, and then the committee will have the final documents that can be approved today. Over to you, Sisanda, with the country profiles, then I will then come after you. Thanks, honorable members.
Thank you, Dr. Kuzwayo. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, honorable members and the rest of the colleagues. Okay, and let me just see if I can just flight this presentation quickly. Okay, I hope I am audible to everyone. So this, the presentation is quite long, so I'll try to go through it very quickly. Please stop me if I am not audible or the information, you need me to go back on a point, and I'll do that gladly. Okay, so the first point of recommendation, or rather country that we are recommending as the support team, is basically Kenya. Now, Kenya is the third largest tourism economy in the sub-Saharan region in Africa, after South Africa and Nigeria. In 2019, I'm getting ahead of myself, apologies there. In 2019, the country basically had about 2 million international arrivals, which is a number that South Africa actually recognized towards the end of 2021 as a result of COVID-19. The sector in Kenya supported about 1.6 million jobs before the pandemic, and these were, however, reduced to about 1.1 million in 2020. The domestic market in Kenya is also quite a growing one. However, Kenya also has the same bias as South Africa in terms of focusing primarily on international arrivals, and thus the domestic market is not as significant as it's supposed to be. Conferencing and business tourism are also growing markets in the country. I think in 2019, on the ICA ranking, Kenya was actually ranked at number 5, having hosted about 27 events versus South Africa's 103. And what one also sees there is that the country is focusing on this particular sector in terms of investing in its National Conventions Bureau, in looking at developing an event strategy. All of this is outlined in its tourism agenda for 2018 to 2022. The country has also quite a very flexible visa policy, which is quite favorable for its tourism numbers. In 2018, on the visa openness index, it actually ranked higher than South Africa at number 9, whereas South Africa stood at number 34. And the reason for this is that its policy allowed the visitors to actually apply for visas upon arrival. However, this has been reviewed, and the country currently has amended this, with the policy now, instead of people applying for visas upon arrival, they can now apply for these online, which makes travel a bit more accessible for them. This continues to be a thorn rather in South Africa, which is not similar, as this indicated by the index in 2018. Okay, and then in this slide, we look at how at the national level, the Kenya Tourism Board is actually at the forefront when it comes to promoting the current country's packages. There's also the Tourism Regulatory Authority, which is charged with the responsibility of grading tourism enterprises in the country. And then the Ministry of Tourism and Wildlife is the actual government institution that's responsible for overseeing the development of tourism in the country. In 2022, so in itself, rather, the ministry is also divided into various branches, as we would call them here in South Africa. So they have a policy and strategy branch, tourism development, tourism finance, and lastly, tourism safety and security. In 2022, however, the country has experienced a significant reduction to its tourism budget, whereas in 2021, it looked at about 9 billion Kenyan shillings, which in South African rands roughly translates to about 1.27 billion. This has been extremely reduced to about 5 billion shillings, and that in South African rands basically stands at about 663 million for this financial year, which is quite a significant reduction for the tourism development in that country. So if you're looking at that last point there, where it speaks to some of the areas that the country is investing in, it just shows you how Kenya is moving towards diversifying its product offering. As I've mentioned that it was, or rather not, it has for a long period of time focused primarily on beach tourism as well as wildlife tourism as its flagship packages. However, that is changing with more and more consumer trends changing as a result of that. So it's looking at a lot of more niche markets, such as agritourism, photography, film, flora, etc. It's also looking at developing its cruise tourism, as well as I've mentioned, the issue around the events management and the strategy being developed towards that. So this in turn is basically positioning the country more and more as a strong competitor for South Africa when it comes to tourism. The country is also recognized globally as having a conducive environment for business. It was actually ranked about the third highest in Sub-Saharan Africa in 2019 by the World Bank. And what you're also seeing there is that it's not only just primarily South African, Kenyan travelers rather, are also seeing or engaging South Africa as a destination for travel. So in about, I think it was in 2020, where the country saw about 6,899 travelers to the country. So there is reciprocity when it comes to traveling between the countries as both a destination and a competitor, if one can call it that. And then the next one, sorry, I got distracted there by admitting people into the meeting, so I've lost my train of thought a bit. So some of the primary reasons, rather, for Kenyans visiting South Africa, as evidenced by Wesgro in 2020, were primarily for you're looking at for business travel. You're also looking at visiting friends and family, as well as about 9.5% of them came into the country for holiday purposes. Okay. Now, as a tourist destination, Kenya faces quite a number of threats, one of them primarily being on the issue of security. This was evidenced between the period of 2013 and 2015, where a number of terrorist attacks took place in the country. However, the country has rebounded from these. So that's quite a boon for the country in that regard, that even after such devastating events, it can still rise up and be able to grow its industry going forward. Another challenge here is poaching, which is also quite a thorn in South Africa as well, which is also similar to the country. Poaching is quite a significant problem for the Kenyan authorities. And then the last part here is primarily in view of rural tourism, which is also quite another market for focus and development in the country. As I've mentioned previously, that Kenya has in the past primarily focused on beach tourism and wildlife tourism as its flagship packages for travel. And what you found is that as a result of that, the rural market or rural tourism, as you would call it, has not necessarily been as fully exploited as a package for travelers. So while the country is largely rural, it however has not exploited the opportunities that those destinations could offer as travel destinations. The focus there has primarily just been on agriculture, exploitation of mineral resources, etc. And what is also quite interesting is that in its tourism agenda, this particular area is not necessarily highlighted as an area for development going forward. So Kenya is still to fully exploit or capitalize on the tourism links with agriculture. So some of the possible sites for visitation, these are merely suggestions. They are not being posed on the committee, but these are areas for consideration. And the reason for the identification is basically primarily on the fact the similarities with South African products and obviously benchmarking purposes going forward on this. You have Nairobi as a possible visitation area. You're looking at the Maasai region on issues where it comes to not only just wildlife management, but also managing the relationship between peak communities and actually tourism development. The region is also looking at challenges of over-tourism, as well as fully engaging community participation in its in the economic benefits of that region to your locals. You're also looking at Mombasa as a possible destination, Lamu Island, which is also quite the on the rough side, for lack of a better word, in terms of how the way of life there is totally different to what you find. So there they talk about that the area actually is one of the oldest living towns in Kenya. There are no roads. You're looking at the use of donkeys to transport goods and materials. So if that doesn't get rural, I don't know what else will be. And then the other one is the Vihiga country, or county rather, or district, which is close to Lake Victoria, with its tea plantations as well as dairy farming. Those are actually areas that can be linked to tourism development. But the one thing about the district is that it is also quite, the living standards are very low. And in terms of infrastructure development, it's not as developed as one would want it. But there it's to explore what opportunities can actually be identified when it comes to linking agriculture with the tourism product. Okay, so the next one is France, which I think everyone is quite familiar with in terms of what it brings to the sector. It's a popular tourist destination, and in 2019, the country had over 19 million international travelers. Obviously, this was affected by COVID-19, and there was a reduction in terms of the arrivals and numbers. Just don't have those numbers here now, but it is also part of the Schengen area in Europe. So what that means is that there's an agreement between all these different countries, and that has allowed free movement between these states. And you're looking at roughly about 40 million EU citizens that can move freely between this. And this has been quite a boon for tourism growth between those particular states. The responsibility for tourism in France is basically shared between the Ministry of Europe and Foreign Affairs, as well as the Minister of Economy and France. And in 2017, an Interministerial Tourism Council, which is chaired by the Prime Minister, was established. And this is primarily to coordinate across the different institutions with a focus on, which speaks to integration and intergovernmental rather relations between all these different responsible institutions. At the national level, policy implementation is led by TOUT France, as well as the National Agency for Holiday Vouchers. You're looking at also at local level, there's representation for tourism under your regional tourism committees, departmental tourism committees, as well as municipalities. Investment in France towards the tourism industry is quite significant if you compare it to South Africa, which I think is actually not even a comparison. Because if you're looking in 2018 about overall the financial resources that were invested towards the sector totaled up to about 83.4 billion in South African rands. And as evidenced by the number of visitors, et cetera, this is basically a return on this particular investment. So they're not losing out by putting so much money into the sector. The returns are quite evident. Now, another issue to highlight here when it comes to the French tourism industry is the fact that they also work well in terms of the development of destination contracts, or what we'd call here your memorandums of understanding, which are signed between partners to encourage basically public-private partnerships around specific themes. Grading is also part of the French tourism economy. However, it is not it's not compulsory, it's optional. So you have a choice to either grade or not, as we have here. And you have five categories within the grading system, similar to South Africa, and it's viable for about 5 years. However, there are inspections that are conducted basically within this period to ensure that establishments actually retain their quality over the five-year period. In the event that your establishment does not stay up to par, fines are imposed upon establishments. And then another issue to highlight here is the issue of tourist tax, which is similar to your TAMSA levy. This is collected by accommodation establishments. and is charged per person per night. And the amount for that actually varies according to the quality and standard of the accommodation. So based on the star, the grading star of that particular accommodation, the tourist tax being charged will vary across the different establishments. However, what's different here is that the money that is received from the accommodation establishments for the tourist tax is transferred to the relevant city or municipality. And that money is actually used for the development and maintenance of tourism infrastructure in that particular region. Okay, and then in the next slide, we see that this slide basically just provides an overview of tourist numbers in France, basically, where you're looking at how concentration or a significant portion of your travelers tend to visit the Greater Paris area, your French Riviera, as well as your ski resorts. And they have mentioned how much the contribution in terms of 91 million tourist travelers in 2019. Tourism contributes about 8.5% to the French economy. And in 2019, the sector was responsible for about 2.7 million jobs. Some of its source markets include Germany, Belgium, the UK, Switzerland, as well as Italy. And a lot of your inbound travelers or international arrivals here spend a significant amount of their money on gastronomy. So they're looking at your food, cuisine area markets, is wine, culture attractions, and in particular luxury goods in France. So those are your more popular activities, if we can put them like that, when it comes to travelers in the country. France has ranked quite highly on the ICA ranking when it comes to business and events, tourism or conferencing. In 2019, it was at number 3 globally, having hosted about 595 ICA meetings in that particular year. It also has quite a big domestic tourism sector. In 2017, about 268 domestic trips were taken. You're looking at how much was contributed in terms of spending. And then on the 14th of May 2020, the Prime Minister also announced that the government will be committing about 18 billion euros to the tourism sector to support the recovery. Once again, proving the level of investment that the government puts towards tourism development in the country, which continues to come back in significant returns for them. Okay, another issue with regard to the French tourism industry is how they've actually used their regions as a means to market themselves, where they talk about destination brands. So these destination brands are basically used to promote what the country has to offer. So they talk about the Champagne region, for instance. You're looking at Provence, where you find a lot of your small villages and towns, et cetera. You're looking at the French Riviera. So these are what we would call their flagships in how they sell themselves across the world. So you know that when you're visiting France, this is a particular area of focus. And if you say in French Riviera, this is what you're looking for, et cetera. So that sets them apart in a way, basically, in selling themselves to the rest of the world. The country is also investing more and more in terms of the telecom market, digitalization of services, digitalization of businesses also within the tourism sector, where they're also offering accelerator as well as incubator programs in ensuring that business models actually are entering the modern era. You're also looking at the data tourism system, which is basically a database of all the different activities as well as attractions across the country. And all of these have basically been put together on this database and enable one to formulate or design tourism packages as a tour operator or a small village, et cetera. That information is basically readily available to anyone who's interested to use it for furthering their businesses. Another key focus here is on sustainable tourism and how this is becoming more and more very important, or the country is becoming a bit more and more intentional in actually promoting it in its products. One example there is the sustainable gastronomy label that was introduced in 2020. And this is basically to encourage a number of restaurants in adopting sustainable approaches or practices when it comes to how they do business. This is in looking at ensuring or dealing with waste issues, reducing food miles, buying locally sourced ingredients, etc. All in all, basically to ensure environmental friendly practices. And businesses actually attain these labels, which they can use to sell themselves to potential customers with that. Another key issue is the campaign on Destinations for All, which primarily speaks to universal accessibility. And there's been an intentional focus and move by the French government in ensuring that more and more businesses as well as attractions are becoming more accessible and actually cater to the less able-bodied of its population. So you're looking at about 5,536 tourist attractions and accommodation across the country that are currently now wheelchair friendly, something that South Africa still needs to intentionally actually work on. And then the last portion of the presentation for France specifically is just merely to highlight the focus on rural tourism, or what you would call here your villages, small towns and small dorpies, or dorpies rather, in South Africa. So rural France is actually quite a significant package of the French experience. There are quite a significant number of small towns and villages in the country, and the characters obviously vary and differ based on economic activity as well as size. There's an association that was actually established in 1982 in the country called, or tagged rather, as the most beautiful villages in the country. Through that association, you're looking at the focusing on the tourist appeal of your small rural villages and as well as quality heritage. It actually currently has about 159 member villages. And these are used basically, or rather that label of most beautiful villages is used to sell these particular areas to incoming tourists. And you're also looking at how to further add onto that, there's a second label, or rather campaign, that is being used by the region. And that is the looking at outstanding rural towns that are paving the way for sustainable tourism. This accolade is actually given to a small number of villages and towns in France that have remarkable architectural as well as natural heritage. And this is actually used to, once again, sell these areas to potential tourists. So this is just to give you an idea of some of the different rural places in the country and what sets them apart one from the other, and what is basically used to sell them across the world. To show you the level of growth also when it comes to this is the donation made in last year, November 2021, by Airbnb, which is about 5.6 million euros. And this donation was made towards the Heritage Foundation in the country with a view to support heritage and local tourism programs within rural France. This basically just provides a breakdown of how tourism is managed within the country, where you have interministerial coordination right at the top. The two departments that are responsible more or less for tourism development to a certain degree, and then the national enterprises right towards the bottom there, which is your Tout France, ANCV, and then right at the bottom, which is your local authorities focusing on the different regions as well as municipalities on whether it's tourism development or tourism promotion. And then the last recommendation for the committee is the United States of America, which is an economic powerhouse with over 50 states. As a federal government, basically, these states are delegated certain powers. You have three branches of national government, which are also represented or established at state level. So you have differing laws that you find in these different states. Tourism contribution, or the tourism industry rather, is also quite significant in America. as we know that there are different states within America, so representation in terms of tourism will vary depending on the focus and investment towards the sector. However, if you see that in 2019, the tourism industry contributed about 8.6% towards the country's GDP. There were about 16.6 million jobs that were supported by tourism in 2019, and the country saw about 80 million international arrivals into its areas. Some of the source markets for America include Mexico, Canada, the UK, as well as Japan. The domestic tourism market is also quite significant in the country, having contributed about $645.6 billion in 2019. And even though this was reduced as a result of COVID-19, it is still quite a significant, highly, highly significant amount. What also happened as a result of COVID is obviously the fact that a lot more people started traveling within their country. So domestic numbers were boosted between 2020 and 2021 for a lot more Americans who are traveling internally rather than outside. As a result of that, South Africa actually, as a destination for American travelers, saw about 80.7% decrease in its American travelers in 2020. However, that market has picked up as reported by Stats SA, I think towards the end of last year, and has actually been leading recovery when it comes to international arrivals in the country. Some of the activities that American travelers actually partake in when they are in South Africa include hunting, wildlife, adventure activities, cultural experiences, etc. So it's a lot more your outdoor activities, and this has also been also affected by COVID-19 as well, since more and more people would rather be spending time outside rather than indoors. As a result of the country's rapid response to COVID-19, it was able to see an increased economic growth in the first quarter of 2021. And its economic status, or rather its status as an economic powerhouse, is basically propelled by its advancement in research and innovation, as well as having a very strong manufacturing sector. America is recognized for having a conducive business environment. South Africa is one of its largest trade partners. And some of the recommendations when it comes to possible oversight visits could include Washington, D.C. However, that is also up for discussion by the committee. Washington, D.C. is the federal capital city of America. It is one of the most visited cities in the country there, with about 20 million international arrivals in 2016. Tourism is the second largest industry, and it also hosts nearly 200 foreign embassies as well as international organizations. New York State is another possible consideration, recognized for being a cultural, financial, as well as media capital of the world. And also the fact that its geographic area is dominated by, it's also quite a contrast of urban development rather, as well as your farms and lakes and mountains, etc. So farms with regard to rural tourism, benchmarking against that as well. And it also is quite generous when it comes to the rebates that it offers for the film industry. If you're looking at how much the film industry actually contributed to the city's economy in 2015, and this is something that the South African tourism sector can learn from, especially the potential economic benefits that the film industry poses for the tourism sector in the country. And then the last recommendation is the Lone Star State, which is Texas. And the focus here is primarily on the geography of the area, as well as the industries, which have similarities to South Africa. It is a leading industry in Texas. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but anyway. So in 2019, for instance, the tourism industry contributed about US dollars. And that can equate to about 1.2 trillion rands. Take that in mind, let that sink in a bit. Okay, so within that same year, there were about 1.3 million jobs that were supported by the sector. However, a significant number of jobs were lost between the period of 2020 and 2021, round about 580,000 jobs that were lost during the pandemic. Some of the other industries that are, okay, these are not necessarily in relation to tourism, but these are what quite also for interest sake is with regard to agriculture and specifically beef cattle production, which is also quite has similarities to South Africa and how much it contributes, which is up to 57% to the economy. Also looking at broiler chickens, something within South Africa as well, that's a potential industry that requires support and investment, and also the dairy market. However, taxes is also hammered by droughts, and this has cost the state a number of billions of dollars, basically, especially with regard to livestock and crops. So these are just primarily for benchmarking purposes that extend beyond tourism, as ultimately, all in all, it's all about economic growth as well as development. Once again, as I've said, these are merely just recommendations for consideration and deliberation by the committee. If these are not up to par, suggestions are required from the committee, and these, once again, we can go back to the drawing board and look at how best to accommodate those. That is it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Susanda. So those are our recommendations, Chairperson and honorable members. If you look at what is covered by the presentation, you could find all the recommendations that members made. For example, in terms of the countries that have been affected by COVID-19, how they are driving recovery, in terms of France, the 18 billion euros that have come. However, look at attractions that are similar to ours, and look at institutional arrangements in terms of how tourism is structured in these countries, also overall committee oversight priorities in terms of your villages, townships, and small towns. So we considered all this. That is how then we narrowed the scope of countries as recommended by members to only these three countries. In Africa, we can't say Kenya alone because we have 11 similarities with South Africa. There is a lot that each member can learn from. Okay. In terms of America and Europe, the committee has suggested, so if you look at France, it is the number one in terms of tourist, international tourist arrivals and having market. So we feel that France your good back to visit so that you can see how you benchmark from them. In terms of America and also USA, the strongest point USA is that in terms of recovery, the ones that are leading international arrivals to South Africa, therefore supporting the current in terms of international arrivals. So that is us members in terms of recommendations to yourself. We then request that members liberation, at least today, there is some indication of which countries members would like to visit from these three, so that at least on our side, we start then preparing the necessary applications for the second term. But in terms of the APP for the committee, we have put the committee agreed on conducting study tour in a second term of this financial year. So that is it from us, honorable members. We'll request your guidance Chairperson and members on how then we move forward in terms of finalizing the APP, particularly on this matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kuzwayo. I see the hands already. And before I give to Mamukomba, is here now. Honorable Mbushe has challenges with the network. So before I give to Mamukomba to chair, I was hoping to see Los Angeles in your research as well as the recommendation, because remember they've got many tourist destinations, and Disneyland being one of the most attractions they have. Just wanted to see how they are rural destination attractions are, because I know they are an attraction more than they are cities. In Los Angeles as well. But be that as it may, Honorable Winkler, you're saying I'm breaking.
Yes, sorry, Chair. I don't know if it's me or if it's you. That's what I'm just trying to check.
May, I will allow Honorable Chair the meeting.
Honorable Chase Brink. Mm-hmm. Honorable Chase breaking, or is it only me? Honorable members.
No, I also can't hear anyone.
But we hear you, Honorable Komba. Can you proceed with the chairing, please? Because
thank
we hear you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Good morning once again. I know the chair has greeted everyone, but I think it will be good for me to also greet members before I start with the meeting. Honourable members, there was a presentation that was presented here by Ms. Sisanda and Dr. Kuzwayo.
and the chair was busy trying to also engage on the same presentations that we, which were presented by the two officials. So maybe if the chair may be able to come back, we'll give an opportunity to conclude her, her comments. But I would like to hear from other members since the chair is not audible at the moment. Thank you. Honourable members, the floor is yours.
Thank you. This is Hannah Winkler. I've got my hand up. If I may proceed, please.
Yes, Honourable Winkler, I've seen your hand up.
Thank you. Thank you to the presenters for the comprehensive breakdown of the different destinations we could visit as a committee. I wanted to ask, with regard to Kenya, what is the wildlife tourism comparison in terms of the amount of funding it brings in to South Africa? So Kenya, South Africa, because we offer the same sort of, you know, wildlife experiences, but it seems that Kenya has a bigger success in branding itself as an African experience. So I think that was quite intriguing, and I'd like to know if there are any other countries, you know, in sub-Saharan Africa that similarly have the African experience, but like us are not branding as well as Kenya, and if they are implementing any interventions using the Kenyan model, for instance. And maybe if that's an option to visit. And then also I wanted to ask, are there any other countries that we could look at where they have really successfully in a short period of time bounced back from the pandemic in terms of the tourism sector and any interventions or strategies they put in place that really have seen, you know, phenomenal growth and post-COVID-19. Thank you.
Let me check the participants. Honorable members, even if your hand is not up, just make a signal to me that you want to engage. Then I will allow you to do so. Any other member who wants to engage into the presentation or input? Honorable Sheila Kwako.
Yes, Chairperson, thank you everyone in the meeting. Chair, with regards to the matter under discussion on the country that we can be our choice as committee members to visit, if I may ask if we can put the countries in order of priority, Chair, so that when we give a go-ahead to the presentation, but it was said that for us to conclude with the APP, we need to make a choice in this meeting. I would say, Chair, as I was listening to the presentation on the profiles of the three countries, I would make France as number one and have Kenya as number two. That's my submission, Chair. With regard to France, I liked the fact that their strategy is the way that we want the country to shift to the issue of villages, the issue of small towns. I am not yet certain about the real region to visit, but I'm just making a recommendation on the choice of a country. But I wouldn't like us to visit an area where there's shortage of water, a country that is so poor, shortage of water and with no electricity. I've seen in the presentation that there are regions like that in one of the countries that were presented in front of us. But my recommendation, Chair, as an individual, would be one, France, two, Kenya. Let me end there, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tego. Honorable Sanganani Gumbi. Honorable Gumbi.
Hi, Chairperson. No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that I'm covered by Hana because I'm obviously also catching up on how some of these issues picked up again, because we once spoke about a trip which was going to be necessarily meaningful, and the fact that after you go on the trip, you know, if we have broad agreements that on various interventions that we agree on the trip, that they are implemented and that they are tracked, because obviously we don't want to go on a trip, especially at this particular time when I think that there's a lot of maybe people aren't friendly towards that idea, and then to come back and obviously not implement some of the resolutions that we take. And so maybe my question then actually has there been a kind of like a consensus in the committee before that whatever resolutions necessarily we take on the trip is going to be implemented back in South Africa, and whether that means that we have a structure of meetings at whatever destination that we're at, we agree on them because if we take those learnings so that we can actually implement them, or are we going to do the standard formula of going there, coming back, it be discussed, but then there aren't any practical implementation steps. So that's perhaps maybe just where I would like a comment on. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Maneli Sindiswa. Honorable Sindiswa Maneli.
Chairperson.
Any input?
Not sure, my hand was not up, but I think from the presentation, I'm tempted to second the honorable member that suggested that we may go to France and have Kenya as a second option, probably that at the third one, because we need to have at least three destinations that we need to decide upon. Maybe if we can just ensure that we get to number three, so that then we make a decision on the preferred one. But for now, I'll second the one that says France and then Kenya being number two. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. I saw Honorable Hannah Winkler raising something on the whiteboard. You have an opportunity to raise it here. Honorable Winkler, I have seen something on the whiteboard. I'm not sure
if
you
want to... Yes. Oh, sorry. Please excuse me. I thought I was unmuted. I just wanted to ask if there had been any discussion about whether the trips would be approved and the feasibility of us going on, you know, a study tour and how we would get that feedback to the committee. Because I loathe for us to do all this research and come up with destinations, and then it's not even something that's financially viable according to, you know, to parliament and the officials. All right, thank you.
Thank you very much, Honor. Mr. Boltina will actually talk to your effect, because, or to your point, because they are the ones who are going to do those, you know, follow those procedures of application for these tours. So I think he'll be able to brief us on how he's going to go about it. Honorable Makubela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, you are, ma'am.
Well, I do not have anything to say with regards to the country of preference. Safe to say, I support the countries in order of priority as suggested by the other honorable members. Thank you very much.
Okay, you mean the Kenya and France as the priorities?
Yes, I do not have any particular preference. So I would go with the flow and support what honorable support in terms of the order of priority in terms of an international study tour.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Honorable Mpushe?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, and everyone in the meeting. No, Chair, I fully support the France international tour. Also on Kenya, I think as the second choice. That's all. Also, Chair, in terms of processes, we are to first have our country of choice, and then the approval processes will follow, because I understand that the process was for us to choose after getting the researchers' view on the countries that we have mandated them to do research. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mpushe. That's exactly what we are doing currently. Thank you for the advice. Honorable Bepani Mutega.
Greetings, Chairperson and my colleagues. Chairperson, on the issue of the countries that we may prefer, I want to differ a little bit with what the colleagues have said about France being the first priority. I think it will be wiser to turn it around and say Kenya. Let's take Kenya as first priority. My reason being, for quite some time we've been getting reports that Kenya is doing well. Is doing well. And I think as an African country, let's go and learn from one of our own on how they keep their tourist sector at that level, rather than to go and learn from France, which politically is interfering with the affairs of Africa, in other words, trying to reverse their colonial tendency in Africa and all that. But my preference is, besides politics, Kenya has been one of the best, and let's go and see what they do differently from us, and then we take it from there. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Honorable April. Honorable April. Honorable De Freitas. Honorable De Freitas. Is Honorable De Freitas available?
Chairperson, the Honorable De Freitas had sent in his apology.
Oh, thank you very much, yes. Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Mieni, Chokozani Mieni. Honorable Chokozani Mieni.
Good Chairperson, morning members. I think I'm covered by members who suggested that we should prefer Kenya and France. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Myeni. I'm not sure if I left anyone out from coming with a priority list of countries which are intended to be visited for study visit purposes, benchmarking purposes. Do we have any other person that we have left behind or who wants to say something before we head over to the officials? If there's no one, I would love to be the last one because I also need to make my input, even though I'm sharing, but I have also support of the Kenya and France as Melina Gomba, a member of the portfolio committee. Honorable members, so I see the most popular view of the countries which are intended to be visited by the portfolio committee in tourism, Kenya and France. Those are the countries that got more expression more than any other country, unless if there is anything else that I really didn't see. Honorable members, is there any comment with regards to to my summary or my observation so that we are in the same book? Thank you. Anyone who wants to comment on the observation that I have seen there? Mm-hmm. Any comment or is my observation correct, honorable members? Can I say something, Chair?
Chair, I think you are correct.
All right, honorable. Yes, honorable Kago, and was it honorable Kago or honorable Sindiswa Maneli? I didn't hear the voice correctly. And I saw Honorable Mpushe also, yes, in that sequence, please. Honorable Maneli, is it Honorable Kago?
Yes.
Honorable Kago?
Yes. Yes, Honorable Mpushe has just said something. I think you will give her after me if you did not get her well. Chairperson, okay, you are correct in your summary. I think you are correct in your summary, Chairperson. What we need to do, because we are in agreement as a committee that we need to prioritize the countries. What we need to finally do is to say whether is Kenya number one or France number one, because the two countries seem to be popular in the meeting. We need to conclude that, Chairperson. You can canvass views of other people. I did make a suggestion, and the other members agree on the prioritization, not of names, but the process to prioritize so that we make, at the end, we make the final choice. I think your summary, Chair, I was to say that your summary is correct to say, as a committee, we have prioritized the two. Though three was presented, we ended up prioritizing two. So it's between France and Kenya. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Kako. Honorable Mpushe?
No, thanks, Chair. I'm covered, Chair, because I was saying your summary is correct, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Now we must go back to those two prioritized countries so that we can have a correct sequence in terms of the choice by the committee on which country is number one for us to visit and number two for the portfolio committee to visit. So can we go back to those two countries and prioritize them according to the sequence of how we want to prioritize them? Thank you very much. Back to you, honorable members. Honorable members, I will start again. Honorable Klago, let me not start with Honorable Klago. She's been number one all the time. Honorable Makubela. Which country do you suggest that?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me suggest that in order of priority, let's look at the country that will be less expensive to visit. And that, in my own view, I think would be Kenya. But we can be advised by the researchers in terms of when they did their research, did they also look into the financial cost implications of these countries to visit them? And I would suggest that in the two countries that we are in agreement with, we look at the one that will be less expensive to visit.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela. Can we hear from Honorable Mpushe? Let me not go to Honorable Mpushe yet. Honorable Bepane Moteka, it's been quiet for some time.
I just spoke in, Chairperson. I think I'm with Honorable Makubela on this one. The cost factor also must be considered. So I think Kenya first, then once we learn from one of our own African country, we can decide to go abroad. Thanks very much.
Thank you very, very much. Can we hear from Honorable Mieni?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think I also goes with Meko Makubela preference.
Makubela, okay. Thanks. Okay, Honorable Tokozani. And then Honorable Mpushe. Honorable Mpushe.
Thank you, Chair. I will also support the view that says let us then prioritize Kenya as an African country. Then France will have to follow. Thanks.
Okay. Honorable Cindy Swam Maneri.
Thank you, Chair. I think I will align myself with the notion that says let's prioritize our own African countries and then it will be followed by Kenya, by France, I mean. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Kleko.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. You see the cost factor during these difficult times, Chair, is quite an important factor, Chair. You see, we are not doing well as a country. So I am, since the two countries were prioritized, let me do it the other way around to agree with the other honorable members. The move for Kenya, then France, I also support it, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Klego. Honorable Hannah.
Thank you. So I wanted to suggest that if there's not too much of a significant price difference between the two, we must obviously make a decision that's based on what is strategic in terms of our recovery and the interventions we can implement. So that's why I asked, which of these countries has demonstrated the ability to implement interventions that have helped them significantly bounce back from the COVID pandemic? I think that would be a useful guiding factor. And then also to look at the types of, I would say, tourism sector comparisons in terms of the similarities between our tourism economy and then the country that we visit, in terms of the, obviously the context. So that's why I did ask for a bit of that further information from the presenters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Gumbi. Honorable Gumbi.
No, Chairperson, I'm covered.
I didn't hear your coverage.
So I'm covered by Hannah Winkler, Chairperson, as I said in the first comment.
To say you want to hear more research on.
No, Chairperson. So I had asked the question in the first round, and then I said that I'm covered by Hannah Winkler, who obviously is my colleague, and she was asking questions because I was still catching up on where some of the stuff first started from, but I haven't obviously gotten an answer to it.
Okay, so this now, oh, thank you very much, Honorable Gumbi. This now has now twofold. It means there is still more research to be done as to which one is more suitable, and there's also an agreement of the priority sequence which was agreed here by members. I'm not sure if I can give Honorable Mr. Dr. Kuzwayo and Lusanda to tell us about the concerns that Honorable Gumbi and Honorable Hannah has raised before we can come to a conclusion of the sequence and priority. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
You are cutting.
I'm not sure if I'm audible now, Chairperson.
Now you are, yes.
Yes. I'll start maybe from
you're still not very clear, Dr. Kuzwayo. Your voice is still not very much clear. I'm not sure if you can do something about it.
I think it's the network.
Yeah, but now you are speaking very well. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
I can't hear.
Oh, Honorable Gumbi, can you remove your photo from the screen?
Oh no, Chairperson, sorry. No, I was just talking, saying that I can't hear. I still can't hear anything.
Oh yes, but your photo has been all on the screen. Yes. Yeah, you can hear. Also, I can hear. But when he responds to us, he speaks very well. So I think there's something that he's doing when he's studying. He starts to read. So if he can take that posture as he goes through his laptop, the same one as he responds for his audibility. Can he go back and do the same way as you respond when you are trying to find if you are audible? It will help us.
Maybe let me ask Miss Lonnie to go first. I'll try and connect on my cell phone and see if the connection won't be better, because I'm struggling with connection here. If Sisanda, maybe you can, in the meantime, address some of the issues. I'll come back on the cell phone if the connection is better there. And yourself, Jerry.
But we can continue the same way you are talking. Keep same posture. It will help us, yes. Because you've been so clear now, yes. Don't change anything.
Okay, I remember. So I was saying, I'll start with Honorable Gumbi's question in terms of the consensus on the committee's oversight in terms of this international benchmarking. Members will recall that when we went to Khayelitsha, we proposed a number of countries, and we had looked at most of the things that members are raising even today. And from that list of many countries, then we were directed by the committee to look at everything else and then reduce the countries
into what we have done today. The members had said, let us at least look at two African countries and the Americas and Europe. Now, looking at African countries, we could only settle on Kenya in terms of ticking the boxes in relation to the criteria that the members...
You've changed your posture again. You've changed your posture.
I've tried to be still. I think it will be the network.
I can hear you well now.
Yeah. So in terms of the criteria, were in terms of recovery, in terms of countries with similar attractions to us, countries with similar institutional arrangements, countries where committee can do some benchmarking in terms of your oversight priorities. So Kenya, we came to Kenya based on those criteria. So therefore, there was no consensus before, so we were trying to get a consensus today. Now, in terms of what Honorable Winkler is asking, there are many factors at play, Honorable Members, if you look at comparing South Africa with Kenya. In terms of wildlife offering, we have almost similar type of offering in terms of your big five and other wildlife animals. But what Kenya has that we do not have, that makes Kenya more competitive than us, this issue of the great migration of the wildebeest. It is quite popular throughout the world. And Kenya has built on the back of that great migration that they have. And also in terms of packaging the Maasai Mara culture, they've done that very well, which is something that we have not quite mastered in South Africa in terms of ensuring that our cultures are packaged at that level. And another thing that works against us in South Africa are what I can call bad environmental practices. And these are the issues that the committee has been raising over and over, which also caused the committee to want to meet with the Department of Environmental Affairs. The issue of how we treat our wildlife in terms of caged animals, in terms of tent hunting and all related issues. So those things will then make Kenya to be always ahead of us. But there is a great deal we can learn from Kenya in terms of how they deal with those issues. Because when people book, and mostly they book an African experience, it's not mainly South Africa or Kenya or Morocco. They will go to these tour wholesalers and they want an African experience. And then these tour wholesalers, they look at everything else, then they will channel people to these countries where they think they can get value for money, but also looking at the preferences of what people now want in terms of your sustainable tourism and so on and so on. So there is a lot that South Africa can get from Kenya in terms of even around wildlife management alone. But also when you look at France in terms of the oversight priority of the committee, your VTSD approach, they even have incubators, they even have the grading system that is similar to us, they even have what I will call tourism levy that is packaged almost similar to us, but what they do differently, which I think committee can learn, is that money that is collected at a region is spent at a region. But in South Africa, money goes to central coffers. TOPSA levy will be collected, goes to SAT, then SAT will do country marketing at a national level, whereas with France, what is collected at a region will be spent at a region. So I am therefore inclined, honorable members, to go with your prioritization of France and Kenya. But in terms of which one is number one, it then depends. Honorable, I think that's a decision that members need to take. It then depends, because what we had suggested to members before was maybe to make an application that will include two countries in one application. If we say Kenya and France, it's the oversight as such to say maybe we go to France, then we go back via Kenya, then we come back to South Africa, so that at least we get a best of both worlds, other than just going to France alone or Kenya alone. But in terms of application, what we can do, and I'm getting corrected here, Mr. Poltina, what we can do, because we have to do it anyway on our side as the support team, is then to stop quotation, maybe for both France and Kenya, then we then make an application that will combine both, and then maybe an application for Kenya, and then we submit both. But then knowing what maybe the house chair can do, they can just go with the cheapest one, which will be Kenya, if we say we do Kenya alone. So we have that option that we can do on your behalf to source quotations for both France and Kenya. Then we just make one application that would include both countries. Then you go to both countries, other than just going either to France or Kenya. But if then we go for what Honorable Makubela is suggesting, which is cost effectiveness and less expensive, you can just do Kenya alone. And the claims, therefore, have not been approved. I'm just going through some of the questions. These have not been approved yet, so we're still gonna do these applications. We were hoping that now, as Parliament is going on recess, we'll be able to do these things quickly. In 2 weeks or so, we'll have something that we can then submit to members to say these are the costs. Because in terms of the money that we have as a committee, we do not have the kind of money that we need for international oversight allocated to the committee yet. But in our APP, we factored in a budget for these oversight, these international benchmarking tools. So when we make an application, because the House Chair already requested that we submit to him, even at a draft level, the APP that members had done previously. So we had submitted that as per the request of the House Chairperson. He has your APP with that budget. But then we will know for sure how much we need when we have done all the quotations and submitted to the House Chair for approval. So in summary, what we are saying, therefore, honorable members, is that we take your guidance in terms of Kenya and France. That is one. Two, we can either do a combined application or we do Kenya alone. So those are our submissions, honorable members. I'm not sure if you have anything to add on that one, Susanna.
Thank you, Dr. Kuzwayo. Just in response to Ms. Winkler, I think in terms of the wildlife contribution, the comparison between South Africa and Kenya, that's not necessarily something that I have at my immediate person, but just to give you a rough estimate on some numbers of the internet, it's just that the wildlife industry contributed along the lines of about 15.5 billion South African rands to the Kenyan wildlife, tourism economy there. So that's quite a significant amount, especially in line with what Dr. Kuzwayo mentioned with regard to migration in the Maasai region, which plays a very important role when it comes to wildlife tourism in that country. However, in terms of to give you an accurate comparison between the two countries, I'd have to go back and just compile something for you. As I said, that I don't have those kind of numbers at hand. And then in terms of some of the destinations that are considered safari destinations in Africa, you're looking at Kenya, South Africa, Tanzania, Botswana, as well as Zambia. Those are some of the few that come top of mind, basically. And then in terms of your other question with regard to countries that have successfully bounced back from the COVID-19 pandemic, if I can say that, that is quite a very loaded question.
Sir?
Which is very...
Sir?
Yes,
Honorable Chairperson, I think Dr. Kuzwayo has done justice on what was required. I so wish that Usisanda withdraws from presenting what she is presenting now, because she is taking us back, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
I would suggest that maybe we just allow her to enroll, because we requested her to present also her part. As long as they are not contradicting each other, I think it will be more clearer to us, Honorable Mpushe. Let's allow her to complete and conclude her input, because we really need it. And over to you, Honorable Sisanda. Mem Sisanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay, this is not contradiction. It's just primarily information for in response to Ms. Winkler's concerns pertaining to the country information. I think it's also quite valid information for members to have at the back of their minds as well when it comes to actually making those final decisions. But it does not contradict the choice of priority when it comes to the destination. As I was saying, Ms. Winkler, with regard to the issue on successful bounce back from COVID-19, as I said, that's quite a loaded question. And the reason I'm saying it's a loaded question is because of the number of factors that come into play, looking at country dynamics, and that is in line with the impacts that came from variants. You're looking at travel bans, you're looking at the access to vaccines and the immediacy when it came to vaccination rollouts, etc. You're also looking at the different messages that were promoted across the world pertaining to different countries. And so all of this, and when you're saying bounce back, are you referring primarily to international arrivals, or are we talking bounce back in line with domestic tourism, etc.? So that's not necessarily the easiest question to answer when it comes to that. But at the top of mind, and based on the information that was provided, if you look at how the US responded in terms of what the legislation they put in place, if you're looking at how France is responding in terms of in terms of financial resources that they have made available towards businesses and the various measures that they introduced during those early times, and some of them that have continued this far. So if you would give me the opportunity, if you're still interested in that information, I can compile it to you and have it for you by Friday, if that is in order. That's it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for that information and the research that you are committing that will be here by Friday. Honourable members, I didn't make my input. I gave everyone the opportunity, but I think also I need to make the input. And my input will also, after listening to the presentation by Dr. Kuzwayo, further additional information that when coming to priority. Honourable members, I think the tourism sector has been struggling for a number of years. And I believe that the last time when this committee had to go and benchmark outside the country, it was in 2011. The previous decade, there were no tourism benchmarking trips, international ones. So I'm worried if we are going to talk about the budget when we are the mostly striking portfolio committee in terms of its performance in the industry itself, and we are the first ones to consider budget when other committees who are really not struggling and striking like us are really having those opportunities of going to those areas to benchmark for their portfolio committees, and they have those expenditures which are we are considering as expenditures. The reason why we have to get budget is because we have to play our oversight role and also benchmark from other countries. Now I see us, I'm not complaining and convincing members of committee, but after listening to the additional information from the research team and the content advisor, I realize that we are making a mistake here by talking about budget than talking about benchmarking. There are two different things. Benchmarking is about you to be able to implement what you have learned from other people. So are we denying ourselves an opportunity of going to learn from other people who are doing the same thing like France? And also, are we denying ourselves the opportunity? It's not about the budget, but a lot of factors have been raised here by Sisanda and Dr. Kuzwayo, which we need to consider before we think about the budget. I know that there is budget that can be allocated as long as we have requested for budget. Considering the fact that the committee has not been to the benchmarking trip since 2011, I believe that was the last time that the portfolio committee was granted permission to go and benchmark when others have repeatedly done so. I believe that we are not doing justice to the portfolio committee, and it is struggling right now as we speak. And international learning will actually open a bit of our mind and experience that we definitely need. So I would differ with the members. Maybe they also have a mind that is different after the additional information from Honorable Mem Sisanda and Dr. Kuzwayo, looking into the fact that Kenya was not a priority, but it is just it was just another country which we can look at, not as much important as I think France is, because with France they spoke about the grant, the tourism levy. And then they spoke about the grading of the establishments, and also there is that element of the areas which we also have interest on in terms of growing tourism from where it is now to the better level. So I would like to request that maybe we request that we put the France to be the first one, and Kenya, since it is, it will be also the route coming back home, which will not be expensive like taking a straight flight to Kenya and come back and still find that it is more or less like South Africa, and there's absolutely not much that you have learned after COVID and before COVID, the difference. So my worry is we're going to go to the place that is more or less like us, but just a little bit advanced because it gets more visitors. So I would like to maybe request that we allow the research to come back again. But unfortunately, we have to decide today because we are going to the recess, and this work must be done during the recess. So I think we must brainstorm once again, or maybe if it is really final, then let us finalize it. My suggestion also was to say, let us take both trips, like they were saying, start with France and end up, just make one application for both countries. And the house chair will decide if he does one or he gives us two, but let's make France the first one so that we don't prioritize according to the expenditures when we are definitely the ones who must make tourism to grow as the portfolio committee members. That's my suggestion. I'm standing to be corrected, honorable members. and anyone who wants to comment on my discussion here. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Yes, sir.
Honorable, Honorable. Okay, we have two members who want to speak. Honorable Mpushe, let me give first Honorable Cindy Swa Manedi, then Honorable Mpushe will follow. Thank you very much.
Okay, no, thanks, Chair. Chairperson, I don't think it's really necessary for us to defer the matter again to the researchers or the content advisors, because from what I'm gathering now in this meeting is that we are in agreement that we've got these two countries that we need to, or that we're prioritizing right now. So Chairperson, what I was thinking is that let's just make a decision now. And already I think in your summary, you tried to come to a decision that will be that let's look at probably taking both countries at the same time, so that we minimize a lot of other things that will not be necessary. So Chair, I was just saying that it's really not necessary, but let's take a decision now. And from what you said, the decision is that in the application, let the countries be reflected as the two countries that the committee would like to visit because of the reasons stated earlier on. That will be my contribution for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Cindy Swa Manedi. And Honorable Mpushe?
Thanks, Chairperson. Partly I'm covered by Honorable Manedi. My Chairperson is to agree with you on the idea of both countries in one trip, but also the initial decision that we have taken. Also, Chairperson, I would like to suggest that the support team, together with the chairperson, it is in their hands now to take this. We have set our own views on the matter. Then they must just submit the application under the guidance of the chairperson, if there is anything that is coming from the house chair in terms of the processes, chairperson. And I fully concur with you on the issue that has to do with the budget. As the committee, ours is to identify and then support our arguments in terms of the oversight a mandate that we carry in terms of the a study tour. Then if the house, the chair of chairs then points out certain matters, we then have to advance our arguments in terms of as you have alluded, Chairperson. I think let us not constrain ourselves much, make our submission and then wait for the approval. If it has matters that are raised, then we will then attend to that under the guidance of the chairperson. I don't think we would need to be convened again for a view, chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpushe. Honorable members, I just want to really, we still have a lot of time. I'm not sure if we have other items, but I want to make sure that everyone really understands and agree or still want to stand on the country as Kenya. So I'm doing another round of justice to this committee. I'm going to ask Honorable Treko again to what is his view, since other members are already coming back to the decision of two countries and prioritizing also. Honorable Treko?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chairperson, I think how Honorable Mpushe has ended her submission covers me to say, let's not come back. Let's not delay any further. Let's, as a committee, we are now taking the matter to the chairperson and the support staff to do whatever on our behalf. We have shared our views. We have shown them our interest that we need to visit best practicing countries so that we can learn from them. Chairperson, I like the notion that both countries can be visited. We start there, we come back to Kenya, we go back. Let the application be submitted as such, Chairperson. That will improve the on the matter of time factor, Chairperson.
Sorry. Continue, Honorable Pego.
Yes, Chair, thank you. I finished my submission, Chair, to say let the application be submitted covering both countries. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Seko. Honorable Hannah Winkler. Honorable Winkler. Honorable Winkler. Okay, I'll come back to her. Honorable Muteka.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think we can do it like this, as you suggested on your briefing or summarizing our deliberations. We can do it like this. Let's take both combined countries at once, and again have one separate for Kenya. You know why I'm saying this? The cost factor is always considered. We cannot run away from that. We have seen it from other committees where the application is turned away because of cost and all other things. So let's submit the one of France and Kenya, going to France, coming back via Kenya, and separately have one for Kenya alone. So if the one of France and Kenya together is costing too much, then one of Kenya can be considered. So that we make sure that this touring trip is taken. So I think let's do it like that, Chairperson. In fact, I'm supporting what it was said by other members, but I'm putting it like this. Let's submit them separately like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbeka and Honorable Makubele. Honorable Makubele Mashala, Honorable Makubele Mashala. Maybe she's struggling with network. I can't hear her responding. Honorable Makubele. Let's check if she's still on the register. She's no longer in the register here. Honorable Makubele is not on the register. Honorable Gumbi.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. So I think that if the whole purpose, if we want to have value in actual benchmarking, which I agree that is what necessarily study trips are about. They're all about benchmarking and being able to come back and implement things. And also to consider the fact that there is actually a reality of a cost factor. There's a lot happening in South Africa, and the state isn't in a position at the moment where there are a lot of resources. I would not support going to two different countries. I would support going to a singular country. And based on what is provided from the research, I think that there's more value in being able to use France as a platform to benchmark. And then obviously we then internalize it and localize it for our own context. Thanks.
Okay, Honorable Anna, even if it's a legacy hand, this is now, we are coming to a conclusion of the discussion about this. So I still need your input after the two researchers have actually given you the feedback now in this meeting. Thank you. Honorable Hannah Winkler, the researchers and the content advisor has given you the feedback in this meeting with what you wanted it to be researched. You can come in now. Okay. Honorable members, with the members who have been here, I also want to support the issue of France first as the priority and Kenya to be the second, as it will be now on our way back home. It's not a new ticket, but a ticket that will cost us less cost, since it will be in the same trip going back home. Hence, I suggest that we give them this together with the chairperson. The chairperson will also have anyway a way of recommendations over mine. But I would suggest that we allow the administration to take it as per the members have now changed the idea to be two countries in the same application, with the sequence of France and Kenya as we come back home to South Africa after France, via Kenya and South Africa. Those are the recommendations, honorable members, and we agree that members must not wait for us to come from recess, but start doing the work of following the processes and procedures of applying for the benchmarking trip by the portfolio committee. And also the issue that will be remaining is the representation from the political parties. With that one, we will leave it to the whips and the chairpersons and those political parties. For now, we are only giving them the right to follow all the processes to make sure that this benchmarking thing is happening as early as we, the better we apply early so that it cannot be late for our own envisaged benchmarking portfolio committee visits. I'm not sure, this is now, I've concluded this and it has been closed. Mr. Boltina, I'm not sure if there's any other item that you need to deal with before or after this one.
Chairperson, thank you, Chair. Chair, the only thing that we wanted just to table to this committee is that resolution tracking tool, Chairperson. We have forwarded, we have included in the pact of the members the documentation that we sent to members. So we just want members just to go through to it. If there are any other issues that members may want to include there, then members may come back to us so that we can finalize that document and start using it, because we have been waiting for quite some time for the institutional tracking tool to have it. Unfortunately, up to now, it hasn't yet been finalized. So we've developed the one that we have that is in front of the members, so that we can use it as a portfolio committee for our own
tracking mechanisms within the committee, Chairperson. Then after that, Chair, if members are happy with everything, I think we may go to the consideration of the minutes of the previous meeting. I'm not sure. I also see Dr.'s hand is up there. I'm not sure whether it's a legacy hand or it's a new hand, Chairperson. You will guide me.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Doctor, do you have anything to assist the committee with?
Thanks, Chairperson. It's on the matter of countries to be limited.
Okay, can you take the same posture that you took earlier on, that is very, that was very audible?
Yeah, I'm trying. Am I audible now, Chair?
Yes, you are very much so.
Yes. So the request, Chairperson, is to get a principal approval of the APP and the strat plan, given that members have agreed on these two countries. So what we will do, because that was the only thing left in the two documents. Other than that, members had agreed on everything else in those two documents. We will just insert the names of France and Kenya as countries to be visited. But what we request in this meeting before we proceed to another item, Chair, is to get a principal approval of the strat plan and APP so that we can officially file it in the administration here in Parliament and also send an official approved document to the House Chair as he requested.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I think also you responded also very well to Honorable Winkler, because she also raised the question on how is it going to be going through to that process of approval. So I think this was a very good input from your side as well. Mr. Boltina, you said to us the next item is about the resolution tracking. Am I correct? So we are going to, to the next item, honorable members, which is the resolution tracking, and the document was already circulated to all of us. I'm not sure if he can be able to, Mr. Boltina. Normally you give us a short presentation on how you are going to, on the document itself. Don't go deeper into it, but just highlight the document, just browse, go over it, and let us understand your resolution tracking so that we can remember. We read a lot of documents, you know, sometimes it's good to refresh us, just to give us an insight of the document, and also for those who could not browse through it, and also those who want to get clarity, maybe as you will be going through it, you'll be giving us some clarity there. Can you go through it, Mr. Boltina, just for a few minutes, not the whole document page by page, but highlight it?
Thanks, Chair. I'll quickly go through it. The committee will recall that for some time we've been trying to come up with a tool to assist the committee in tracking resolutions. The parliamentary level, there was a process developing an institution-wide tracking tool. We have been trying to get hold of that tool, but in vain. So we then thought that maybe let's just revert to our original idea, Chairperson, so that we can start having something that we track the resolutions with. So this is a suggested template. We have circulated it before, but it was put in abeyance. So we are reviving this so that we can start populating it to ensure that whatever members decide on, at least we know where we are in terms of tracking. So briefly, if you look at this tool, we have the name of the committee, and then the chairperson there, then the date here on which the information was populated, then it will be the current status and the summary of where things are, then the priority,
in terms of the coding, we coded it as low priority, medium and high priority to assist the committee in terms of tracking the issue that has been resolved. So under priority, that is where we will then code it for members to say this is a high priority matter that needs to be tracked quickly. Then it will be a resolution description to say what exact is it that was resolved by members, on which date was the resolution taken, and who is responsible for implementing that resolution, and what actions are being taken to resolve that matter, and the date now. So there are 3 days if members look, so this date might not be confusing. So this will be the date now at which the action step was taken. It is not necessarily that a matter has been resolved, but let's say, for example, if the committee has said as a support staff, we have to go and conduct research on country profiles. And then we have started conducting the country profiles. That will be the date at which the action was taken. Then the last date when the matter is now closed, at the date at which the matter was closed. So that is that. Then this will be a living document. We'll keep adding on it, but whenever members get new information, all the other information will still be there in terms of because you'll find that issues are resolved at different times. So there will be new issues and old issues, but members will have all the issues at your disposal for you to track where the issues are. So this mainly will work with the resolutions that are taken at committee meetings in particular. Because in relation to resolutions that are House resolutions, there is a process through the Office of the Speaker where information is then directed to ministry via the Office of the Speaker. So we'll still follow that process there, but we will record to see this report, for example, was discussed, was tabled in the House on this date, then the issues of the report being taken to the minister, that becomes the matter of the Office of the Speaker. But this one will assist members to see whatever you have discussed and resolved on, you'll always know where issues are. So this takes care of mainly the committee resolutions at a meeting level. But we had something, members, that we had also proposed before that was implemented with the previous minister, but then was also put in abeyance because now there are issues of projects now. So the first one we're talking about was the tracking tool for committee resolutions, but there are critical projects, particularly infrastructure projects, that the committee is tracking. Let's take, for example, the 30 community-based projects that the department will be implementing through DPSSA, all those processes that the DPSSA is still coming to the committee to say these are the projects we'll be implementing and this is how we're going to be implementing them. But committee will not be able to visit all provinces, at, like we just went to Limpopo, and we were not able to go to other provinces. So we do not know the status of projects in other provinces currently. So what we are proposing then is another simple tracking tool, which will also be a living document, which we will then, on quarterly basis, or from our side as support staff through the Office of the Chairperson, on quarterly basis, send this document to the department for them to populate new information so that we know on quarterly basis where the projects are. So the way we developed it is the name of the project, in terms of that project information, the name of the project, the district municipality where the project is, the local municipality, the date at which the project commenced, date of completion, if the project may be said to be completed in, let's say, 2025, and name of the project manager. That will give a summary. We also rate it in terms of the issues that are in that project, because some projects will be running smoothly, like they'll be green, they'll be on schedule, but there are those maybe that will need serious attention by the committee, which might be coded red. So in terms of the information then that will require from the department on quarterly basis, project description, those will be standard information. Project description, project deliverables, beneficiaries of the project, allocated budget, expenditure to date, those are the ones that will keep on fluctuation in our anticipation. To say those will keep on fluctuating. The time frame might change from time to time, maybe if there are issues with the project progress on implementation, that will always be new information in terms of where the project is. Then challenges that will be experienced at each project level, and the remedial action that the department will be doing for each project. Then we will populate, if there are 30 active projects, we will populate this for all 30 projects, and then members will get this template updated on quarterly basis, so that even if we have not gone to Free State, KwaZulu-Natal or Northwest, but members are kept abreast on what is happening in real time in those projects, in those provinces. So these are the two templates that we are tabling on our members for your consideration, so that if you then approve them, we can then start with this one. We can then send to the department right away through the Office of the Chairperson for the department to populate all infrastructure projects. Then we start tracking, and the other one for resolutions. If members agree, then we will start populating all these resolutions, maybe from this first term, to say what, from the minutes of the first term, then we populate all the resolutions, then we track those throughout the year. So that is our submission, honorary members, on the tracking tool. But while members also talk to this one, may I please also go back to that issue there. We need the APP and the strategy to be approved formally by the committee, like when you approve minutes. So one member must propose, another one must concur that the APP is approved. The same thing must happen also with the strategy plan, so that they become formally adopted documents of the committee. So that is our submission in terms of the resolution, the tracking metrics, honorable members. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Kuzuayo, for the resolution tracking presentation document. Members, there was a brief presentation, but it was not brief, it was more detailed. Can we have any mover for the, or any discussion on the document before we move for the adoption of it? Anyone who wants to make any submission to the document itself? Going one, two, and three.
I have a hand.
Oh, there's a hand. Honorable Prego, I didn't see the hand. Sorry, I didn't page on the page of the hand.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Honorable members and the team, I think the tool as presented is work in progress, which I am moving for its adoption, Chairperson, because it's going to assist us
and also during the time
Honorable Mieni,
please mute your phone. Your phone, please, Honorable Mieni.
It's also going to assist the chairperson, ourselves as the committee, to track our progress also, and also assist during the time in which the administration is required to prepare a legacy report for the incoming seventh administration. I think it will assist also, Chair. I have looked at the tool, and I appreciate the manner in which it is drafted and the manner in which it has been presented to us. I think we must recommend it, Chair, its approval, and also it be made to work for us as a committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Keko. There's a mover for the adoption of this report. Do we have any seconder or anyone differing with the proposal? If not, can we have a seconder to the adoption of the report, the tracking resolution?
Honorable Makubela, I second the proposed adoption of this tracking tool as a working document for us to track our own resolution as a committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makubela Mashele. The report is adopted and was seconded. Can you move to the other item, Mr. Boltina? Can you lead us to the item? Mr. Boltina?
Honorable Chair, the proposal was for the APP and the strat plan to be formally adopted.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much for reminding me. Yes.
I would propose as the move, Honorable Chairperson, that I formally move that the APP and the strat plan be adopted formally as this committee.
Thank you so much, Honorable Makubela. Any seconder?
I second, Chairperson, the move for the adoption of both presentations. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mpushe. Honorable Botina, any other item after this one? Mr. Boltina?
It's the minutes, Chairperson.
Okay, the adoption of the previous minutes. Any mover for the adoption of the minutes? Any mover?
Chairperson Winkler.
Honorable Winkler? Honorable Winkler, are you proposing?
Yes, I propose to move. Thank you.
Honorable Mpushe?
I second, Chair, with a slight correction on the part that...
Okay, you've seen an error somewhere before we second. Did you see any error? Which page is that? Madam Pusha, are you still on? Madam Pusha?
Yes, Chair. Okay. I'm saying, Chair, I'm not sure, but it has to do with us uploading the ministry. but it's written there as alluded.
Oh, they will go straight to it if you mention it like that, then they will know.
Yes,
where
sir. It is. Mm. I'm just searching my minutes now.
Okay.
But I'm sure they will see it, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Bortina, can you help us where we speak about where the minutes are talking to the issue of the minister? Maybe she can, you can find it quicker than Honorable Mpushe.
Chairperson, I'm not sure whether the things that was going on in the meeting. What Honorable Mpushe was raising, Chair, what page is that? It's page 1 or page 3?
Maybe you will help us there because she's trying to peruse.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mpushe.
It's Mr. Bortina, Chair.
Oh, Mr. Bortina? Are you cutting or are you coming in? I'm not sure if your voice is muted or what.
Hi, sir. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, because I didn't hear much of what members were saying. The system was very so unstable on my side. So is Honorable Mpushe saying that there's something that needs to be corrected? I just want to, what page is that?
No, I found it now. I'm not sure of the page. It's the part that has to do with the fact that the country has been lauded in international platforms for its cutting edge work done by the scientists. Yes.
Okay.
I think you meant to say that the country has been uploaded in international platforms.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Mama Mpushe. Thank you so much. I'm sure it's a typing error, ma. It's a typing error. We will go back to that paragraph and correct that. I'm definitely sure we were so far from Mama Chaiko.
Okay. Yeah. Honorable Mpushe, now that you have corrected the mistake, can you second the minutes as you wanted to correct it first? Second the adoption of the minutes, sorry. Honorable Mpushe, are you lost now? I say now that you have assisted the
Valeu.